Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, going to jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. We're going to talk to Richmond Webb. That's right, former Miami Dolphin offensive lineman. Richmond, first off, good morning. Happy New Year. And, man, I'll tell you what, 34-3 loss, not the taste I wanted to have in my mouth after that game. What a disappointing game for Dolphin fans to watch, and I'm assuming for you, too. I know you're a diehard Dolphin guy as well, but, man, that stunk, that Tennessee loss.
Yeah, good morning. Happy New Year to everybody. No question. After the way the season started off and then to turn it around and – we had just got in playoff contention, and then go and lose in that fashion. We just didn't play well. But I think that was the most disappointing thing is, you know, the margin of victory and all that. We just didn't play well. Even if we lost and it was a closer margin of victory, people would have been upset that, you know, maybe not as bad because, you know, we went 7 in a row, but, you know, it gets tough that – yeah, we just didn't play well, so that was a tough one right there.
Yeah, and Richmond, it's funny, too, because somebody brought this up, I think it was either earlier this week or last week, on the show, if you're a kid, and when I say kid, because we're a little older than that, but if you're someone in your, you know, mid-30s or younger, you don't know Dolphin football outside of like 8-8 football almost every season, mediocre football. Yeah. I'm used to growing up with the Marino days. I didn't get to see, obviously, the 70s teams play and the 72 team play. But I grew up in the Marino heydays when it was in the early to mid-80s and the early to mid-90s where every year we're talking about, oh, just I hope we can host a playoff game where we can beat the Bills this year at the end of the year and get to the Super Bowl. It is truly amazing what a fan base that's in their mid-30s or younger knows of the Dolphins compared to somebody who's older like me.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point you've been up. It's been a long time, but, you know, when I got there, that was the norm. You know, the playoffs, it was just like you said, you know, shooting for winning the division or, you know, even trying to play for home. That was the expectation. And, you know, playing under Coach Don Shula, you know, he had success for 4 or 5 decades consistently. And like you said, somebody that's 30 or younger, they hear about it, but you don't want to hear about it. You want to experience it for yourself. So I know at times it can be real frustrating for those younger Dolphin fans. So I agree with you, but they've never had an opportunity to experience that. And it seems like we'll be headed in the right direction. And then they get teased a little bit, and then it's snatched away from them. I think that's what's frustrating for them.
Yeah, it's like hitting that speed bump and not being able to get over it, kind of. And that's what this team has been like for, like, the last, I don't know, 2 decades almost, it seems like. We've had a lot of guests on in the last couple weeks, even couple months. And obviously we talk about the offensive line and the young guys on the offensive line, and hopefully they'll get better. And week to week, we always criticize or talk about the guys. But I got to ask you this, as someone who played on the offensive line from day one of when you got in the NFL playing on that offensive line, you got drafted and you just got plugged in right away and you had to start at left tackle. How important is an offensive line coach to a young player or a guy that's been in the league 5 or 6 years, or even one of the older players, but how important is that offensive line coach to the development of the offensive line year in and year out?
Very important. You know, when I got there, John Sandusky was my offensive line coach. He had played in the NFL, played for the Cleveland Browns, but he was considered one of the best in the business at that time. And, you know, with me coming from Texas A&M and Keith Sims coming from Iowa State, you know, back then, you know, people don't even know about this, but unless you watch, I think it's Army or Navy, that, you know, we were a heavily option run team, and everybody's spread formations pretty much just that. So the game has changed, but, you know, coming to Miami where we knew we had to protect Marino, I had to learn a 2-point stance. And he worked with me during mini camp and, you know, through the summer and stuff like that to get me prepared. And then we got a ton of reps in the preseason games and this and that, because that's what we were brought there for, was we were brought there to protect Marino and let him continue to do, you know, the things that he did. You know, he was really ahead of his time. You know, most teams were more run dominant back then, but we threw the football all the time. And it was understandably so when you got a talent like Dan Marino. But he definitely helped in my development and accelerated, you know, me making a lot of mistakes, this and that, the communication factor, what to look for, you know, the seven veterans that you're going to play against, what they're going to try against you, and just learning how to study film. And then when we practice and stuff, just working on techniques, paying attention to the little things that, you know, hey, Richmond, you might want to do this, or you know, square your feet up, this and that. All those little things come into play, you know, at the NFL, because it doesn't get any tougher than that. And it doesn't matter. It's always a guy over there that you got to play against that, you know, he's pretty good. So offensive line is not only offensive line, but your coaching staff is very, very important. But I think it's magnified because we know, I think even at the beginning of the season, that was a question mark, and it kind of got masked when we went on the winning streak, but we definitely got to improve the offensive line play.
Yeah, well, that was the next thing I was going to ask you. What did you think this season, development-wise, of young guys like Eichenberg and Austin Jackson? Robert Hunt, obviously, made the transition from right tackle to right guard. It looked like he did a pretty good job there this season when he got graded out. But the other guys in the offensive line, from what you saw from day one, from an outsider, watching the games, knowing the positions, did you think the offensive line got better throughout the year? Do you think some of the young guys, you know, because I understand you got to take your hits, you know, to get better, especially as a young guy, to kind of learn the positions more. But after all the movement there was in training camp, and then all of a sudden everyone was kind of set in their position, did you see some improvement from some of those guys now through, what, 16 games going into game 17?
I saw some improvement, but I think what's more important is consistency. And I think the issue was, it seemed like on different plays it would be a different breakdown by a different guy in a lot of the games, if you just kind of go back. So I never really tried to point the finger at, you know, one guy this and that, but if you just watch the offensive line on this play, it might be this position. On the next following play, it might be this position. So you're going to have bad plays, but when they come that often or that frequent, you can't get into a rhythm. So overall, as a group, they got to play consistently better. And I think that's one of the things that got masked. And the second half of the season, it seemed like we started going with the RPO, the run pass option, and Tua was getting the ball out really quick. So since he wasn't getting hit as much or sacked, it may seem like, you know, they were improving, but we got to play a lot better than that if we're going to be a playoff team. I'll just be honest with you.
All right. No, I totally agree with you there. Now, with the offensive line play the way it was and the way the guys were hurt on offense, we went games without, you know, obviously Will Fuller didn't play in a lot of games. Devontae Parker was hurt for a bunch. Like, they never were at full strength. Even at the running back position, they had, you know, games this year where guys missed. Can you give a fair assessment to Tua after what you saw this year from everything in general? Like, because there's going to be a big decision that's got to be made, and I'm sure it's going to come in the offseason, whether Tua is the guy going forward. And that's something that Chris Greer, Brian Flores, management, everyone has to make. But the way that you saw everything, did he get a fair shot to get a fair assessment of his season the way you saw him play?
You know, I've been saying this all season and on podcasts with a couple of guys called Fence Side the NFL. And you go back to before the season started, my thing was, you know, if you're going to win in this league, you know, it's done in the trenches, and that's up front, offensive line, defensive line. And that was my question mark. And I think, and I said it this week, a couple people asked me on Twitter, I said, you know, in order to evaluate Tua, I think you got to give him, you know, a decent – it doesn't have to be the best in the league, but you got to give him a decent offensive line to truly evaluate him. Now, and whether they do that or not, I don't know. But, you know, even the other factors you brought up, you know, at the wide receiver position, we had a bunch of guys in and out, this and that. All that affects everything. And, you know, even with the running back position. So the thing that I look at is – I think Chris Greer, Coach Flores, I think everybody understands the areas that truly need to be addressed. Defensively, I think we're pretty in really, really good position. If we just fix a couple things on offense, I don't think we're that far away. The key is once you fix them is keeping guys healthy so you can have them, you know, the longevity of the season rather than, you know, you start out hot and in three or four games, you lose guys at this position and, you know, they don't come back. That really disrupts things. So I think we know what needs to be addressed, the areas, and just keeping guys healthy on the field. And I understand COVID and stuff. That's something I never had to deal with. But it does affect, you know, I guess this is a new norm or whatever. But, but just keeping guys ready, available that, you know, you can go out there and compete on a more consistent basis. Because, like you said, the wide receiver position, I know we lost Fuller, Parker. Well, Fuller's been out the majority of the season. But, you know, Parker finally came back. That plays a huge part in it right now.
What about Jalen Waddle? What do you think about Jalen Waddle this year? Nice rookie season from a guy. Picked sixth overall, so there's expectations all around him. But I think he did a pretty good job considering the fact that going into the season, we thought maybe he'd be the number two or number three wide receiver on the team with Will Fuller and Devontae Parker if they both were playing. Instead, he ended up being the number one guy basically all season long. How do you think he played and his season as a rookie?
Yep. You know, catching 90-something balls. I thought he's had an excellent season. I got to get him to teach me that Waddle dance, you know. little unknown fact, I actually played with his older cousin at Texas A&M, so we talk all the time.
Wow.
Is that right? That he played well, but I don't think we actually got to utilize him a lot of times. Like you said, if he was the second guy with Fuller Parker, it's things that I saw him do at Alabama that we really couldn't, you know, since he was the number one guy, we couldn't exploit or try things with him because a guy that fast and that explosive, and you put the ball in his hands, he could make some plays. So, but I thought he had a real good rookie season. Yeah, him, Holland, and Phillips. I mean, the top three, I have no complaints about them.
Yeah, there was a nice draft after the 2020 draft. And we all have question marks about that. Richmond, I appreciate your time, man. This was a great conversation. I hope we can do this again soon. You know I bring you on because you're, in my mind, the offensive line guru. So whatever you say about the offensive line, that's what I'm going with at this point. You're my guy. You're one of my favorite follows on social media, and it's always nice to see you on there. We'll bug you again soon. I really appreciate it. I hope the family's doing well. And, again, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I'll talk to you later. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect
your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.